I've entitled the message today, Remembering Sacrifice. Remembering Sacrifice. We're learning in this series of messages to be strengthened against temptation. And one of the greatest temptations facing the church today is this idea of disunity. And when we remember those who gave their lives in defense of this country and the Constitution of these United States, we have to remember that they stood united. That's the only way they could do what they did. When we think about this, we can know that we can express authority over Satan and temptation by quoting Scripture. And Scripture tells us to stand united. It's a principle that this country was built on. This was Jesus' example for believers to follow when they were tempted. Quote Scripture and say, "It is written." His example enables us to resist, regardless of the nature of the temptation, even the temptation to fear harm or death. This is how the gospel has gone forth throughout all the ages, because people gave up their fear and they walked in the light of the gospel and in the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ crucified for humanity. Now today I want you to open your Bibles to the 15th chapter of John's gospel record. You'll find that on page 727 in the Pew Bible. And we're going to read verses 9 through 15. We'll begin at verse 9 and read through verse 14. I'm sorry. And again, that's page 727 in the Pew Bible. And before we read, we will pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You love us. We ask that You would help us to love You. Father, we know that Your Word teaches us very clearly what that love looks like. Jesus Himself told us that if we keep His commandments, we would abide in His love just as He kept Your commandments and abided in Your love. And so, Father, as we go forward in this message, we ask for Your blessing on each one present and all who will hear this message, Lord. Those who are within the sound of My voice, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 9, is where we hear, "As the Father loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are My friends if you do whatever I command you." I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. I trust that He will. Amen. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He said, "These things I've spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Keeping the commandments of Almighty God helps us to remain full of joy, joyful. If we find ourselves without joy, we might want to ask where we're going wrong ourselves. It's not that God has taken our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Lord tells us in His Word. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. Tomorrow we honor those who died in military service to this land. They gave their lives for you and for me. The freedom that we enjoy, it was not free. It came at a great price. And we owe them a debt of gratitude for their service. Their sacrifice emulates our Lord's. He gave His life to free us from the bondage to sin. He gave His life to keep us from dying eternally. He gave His life that we would be free from eternal dying. He gave His life to free humankind from those bondages that come from sin. I hope that this message will inspire you today. Every believer is enlisted as a soldier in the spiritual war by Christ. Whether or not we've been told that or not, it's true. Whether or not we want to believe it, it's true. Whether or not we think it's even possible, it's true. We are all enlisted in a spiritual war by Christ. I hope that you'll be inspired to serve faithfully. I hope that you'll be inspired to serve selflessly. And I hope that you'll be inspired to resist the temptation that comes in this world. I hope this message will move every believer to serve like those who gave their lives in service to this country. And I hope this message will persuade every believer to let the greater love of Christ guide them as they serve. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on May 5th in 1868. A man by the name of General John Logan, who was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, is the one that made the proclamation. It was first observed on May 30th in 1868 as Decoration Day to honor those who had died in the American Civil War. Now, the American Civil War took more than 600,000 lives. All the other wars in this nation's history only doubled that number. There were more people killed in the United States, war between the states, than all the other wars put together until more recently in all the history of this land. The graves of those who died in the Civil War were decorated. That's why it was called Decoration Day. In fact, the people of St. John's, the congregation of the Reformed Church that met in this building, they participated in decorating graves here and over at the Hemp Hill Cemetery. In fact, we have a picture out there in the library that is of that day, probably in the 1870s, because this building was dedicated in 1869. The congregation met first in this building in 1870. And it was sometime in the 1870s or 80s maybe that picture was taken of people who were here in the cemetery decorating the graves. They would parade from one cemetery to the other in honor of those who had given their lives. Decoration Day was changed after World War I. It was changed to honor all who died fighting in any war. It stayed the same for a very long time. But then in 1971, Congress passed the National Holiday Act. And this changed to the last Monday in May. And then it became a three-day holiday. Instead of the last day of May, it became the last Monday in May. Unfortunately, the reason that we celebrate Memorial Day, the reason that we have a day set aside to memorialize those who died, has been largely forgotten. Instead of honoring those who've died serving, Memorial Day has become just another holiday. It's the beginning of summer, after all, right? That's what it's become synonymous with. It's become synonymous with partying and outdoor grilling. It's become synonymous with opening pools and camping and outdoor sports. And all those things come to mind when I think of Memorial Day. In my own history, I remember walking with my grandfather who served in World War I through the cemetery near his house in Carrick, Pennsylvania. And I saw all those flags on the graves, and I told him I wanted one of those because it meant something. He said, "You can't have one of those, but we'll get you one like it." Because those flags mark the graves of those who served in this country's military. But you know, Wikipedia lists 1,354,664 plus Americans as having died in our wars. And they have that plus because somebody might die today, because we're at war today. These were real people who gave their lives in these hostilities. These were somebody's children who sacrificed their lives for ideals of freedom. They fought for what they believed in. Americans have paid and will continue to pay the price for your freedom and my freedom. Freedom is not free. The reason this point is so important is because it's written, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. But to have this love, one must put their self after others. The major wars that we've been engaged in, this is just the major wars now. The major wars that we've been engaged in include the Revolutionary War. That's the one that started everything. The War of 1812. The Mexican War. The Civil War. That's the war between the states. The Spanish-American War. World War I. World War II. The Korean War. The Vietnam War. The Persian Gulf War. The Afghanistan War, which we're still engaged in, by the way. And the Iraq War. From 1775 through 1783, the many battlefields of the American Revolution took lives. Places like Lexington and Concord, Bunker Hill, Trenton, Charleston, Yorktown, and others took the lives of an estimated 6,800 Americans. Historians believe that at least 17,000 others died from disease, including those who were prisoners of war. From June 1812 through February of 1815, in the war that's called the War of 1812, it was with Britain, 15,000 Americans gave their lives on the battlefields. These are the lives we are remembering today. These are the lives we are memorializing. Those 15,000 Americans gave their lives on the battlefields, but Native Americans gave their lives too, and nobody counted those deaths. From 1846 to 48, more than 13,000 Americans gave their lives in the Mexican-American War. Did you think so many people died in that war? In 2 years? From 1861 to 1865, this war, the war between the states, consisted of nearly 10,500 battles, engagements, and other military actions all across this land. From the fields of Gettysburg, Shiloh, and countless others, more than 600,000 people died fighting for this land. I've seen numbers more than 700,000, so I would say somewhere between 600 and 700,000 people gave their lives fighting on this land. The blood of those who died, those who sacrificed their lives, brings us to remember, freedom isn't free. And in 1898, more than 2,000 Americans gave their lives in San Juan Hill, Cuba, in the Spanish-American War. Don't hear much about that one. From 1914 to 1918, in the battles of World War I, from Flanders Fields in southern Belgium and northwest France, to the Russian plains and the deserts of the Middle East, almost 120,000 Americans gave their lives in this war. More than half of those were to disease. 63,114 died from disease in that war. 53,402 died in combat. And as I said, my grandfather served in World War I. On Normandy's beaches and in Bastogne, in the fields of Europe and the jungles of Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima, and many more, 418,500 Americans gave their lives in the Second World War. My dad served in that war. And some of the stories that he told were not something I'll repeat in the pulpit. From 1950 to 1953, more than 54,000 Americans gave their lives on the battlefields of Korea. My dad fought there too. From 1961 to 1975, nearly 60,000 Americans sacrificed their lives in the battlefields of Vietnam. And most of us, I would say, remember the news stories from those times. We heard the stories of how many of our young men were being killed on the battlefields in Vietnam. And when they came back, those that survived, they weren't received well. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who served, and most especially we memorialize those who died. Since then, Americans have fought and died in all kinds of places all over the world. We have been and we are a nation at war. I'm not so sure that that's a good thing, folks. These people who served, those who gave their lives, they loved in the greatest way by sacrificing their lives. Our Lord modeled extreme love when He sacrificed His earthly life. And He did so to provide the way to eternal life with the Father. Those that we remember today stood fast in one spirit of united we stand. This is one of the most difficult things for any group today, is to have unity. Every type of group and organization struggles with unity today. Just attend a meeting, any meeting of any group, of any organization, and see if you have harmony and unity. We had some unity last week, didn't we, John and Jim? Our annual congregational meeting was as unified as any could be. I praise God for that. But you know, even families are divided today. Christ's church is failing at being united. The body of Christ has been divided, sliced up and diced up. Hundreds upon hundreds of different types of churches exist today. Instead of one church, one body, one Lord, one Spirit. We're called to be united in one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And yet standing united in the Holy Spirit seems to be very difficult today. But why? I have to ask, why is it so difficult? And I'll tell you the simple answer is because it means putting ourselves aside for the benefit of the whole group. And that's hard to do. It's very hard to do. We've been raised in the I, me generation. Everything's I. I this and I that. I had a whole big long list of I's that I just took it out because it'd be too long. But you think about it, we got the iPod, the iPad, the I this, the I that. Everything's I, me, me, me. And we've learned to be divided instead of united. One nation under God, united. It's written, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but it's proof to you of salvation. And that salvation comes from God. That's written in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Paul's instruction there was first to the believers in Philippi, but it extends to us too. Stand firm within that spirit of Jesus Christ. Stand firm. And to stand firm in the spirit, we would be united. And that's the idea that built this country. Though we might disagree on many things, we are to stand firmly united. Always remember the sacrifice. When you think of the sacrifice of all those who have given their lives in defense of this country, remember the sacrifice of Jesus who gave His earthly life in love of humankind. We who follow Him will love our own life less than God or others. And like the soldiers who sacrificed their lives in war, so are we to present our bodies a living sacrifice every day. This is what's written in Romans 12 in verse 1. I beseech you, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's what's written. You present your body as a living sacrifice to Almighty God. And that's not an unreasonable request. Jesus gave a new commandment written in John chapter 13 and verse 34, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He repeated it twice. Now, do you think for a moment that the reason He repeated it twice was just to be redundant? Or do you think there's some importance there? Now, how can we love one another if we're caught up in ourselves? When an army goes to fight, or any branch of any military, they must stand united, or they'll fall. Verse 35 of that same passage of John 13, it's written that this is how all will know that you are his disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another, everybody's going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And this isn't the kind of love between a husband and a wife. This is love in a social and moral sense that lays aside personal interests and serves the greater good of all. It's written in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We put aside ourselves. We do what's good for all, especially those of the household of faith. It's written in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Isn't that what happens in war? When people give their lives, sometimes directly protecting others, they lay down their lives for others. How many of us are willing, truly willing, to live our lives as a living sacrifice to Almighty God? How many of us are willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in the faith? There's a question for you, because the Scripture says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Those who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, serve Him without thought of their own life. In fact, the love of God and serving God are inseparable. If we love God, we serve God, not ourselves. We don't do this because we want to enrich ourselves, although there are many in the proclaiming Christian faith that do, in fact, serve themselves. That's not to be. That's not the reality of it. In fact, the love of God is seen in the way that we serve others. That type of love leads to sacrifices that are remembered forever as souls are brought into the kingdom of Almighty God. Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't start out on the Christian walk and say, oh man, this is tougher than I thought. This whole Christian warfare thing, nobody told me about that. I didn't sign up for this. I said a little prayer. I was supposed to have eternal salvation. What's all this warfare stuff? Nobody told me about that. It is written. You will suffer persecution. It is written. You will suffer temptation. It is written. You will be persecuted. It is written. And if nobody told you, I'm sorry, but I'm here to tell you now. It is written. You're in a war. It's a spiritual war. You don't fight against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities. You're fighting against powers of darkness. You're fighting against the evil. But yet it tells us also in Scripture, it is written, we have power over all the power of the enemy. That's what's written in God's Word. We can stand united in that spiritual war. We can battle for God on this side of eternity, because that's what He calls for us to do. We must remember it's not about us. It's all about Him getting what He bought and paid for. And that's the souls of those that He has claimed for Himself with the blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we might face hardships. We're not to let anything come between us and serving God. Sometimes we might face injury. And many throughout the time of Jesus Christ, since Jesus left, have faced death. Many of our brothers and sisters went to their death fighting that good fight of faith. But we have the power to use Scripture to resist letting these things become an excuse, as so many do. We can't have this excuse that keeps us from heeding the call of Christ. He said, go into all the world. He said, preach the gospel. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. More and more people need to turn to Christ for a life of service in His spiritual core. They need to submit to His commands because He says, if you do what I command you, you love me. But if you don't love me. That's what He says, not me. We want to see the overall dedication of believers increasing. We want to see the dedication of each and every one of you, all who hear my voice. We want to see your dedication to Christ and Almighty God increasing, not decreasing. Even though the Lord says there will come a falling away, and unless that falling away comes, then Christ will not return. We know that we're going to see the faith of the church declining, and yet I want to see more and more of you who hear my voice, who listen to the word of Almighty God. I want you to be increasing in your faith. I want you to be increasing in your dedication. I want you to be increasing in what it is that you're willing to do for Almighty God. Church was once the center of faith and social activity in this land. The only way we can regain status is by eliminating the I. It's the only way. Every manner of self must be set aside. And to do that, we have to embrace Christ. And that's when we'll see community enrichment replace personal enrichment. There's this idea of being a follower of Christ is not about you, folks. It's not about you getting rich and famous. It's not about you gathering all the toys on this side of eternity. The community enrichment is when we bring souls into His kingdom, and His kingdom comes here on earth. And then we'll see that uniting for the cause of Christ and the gospel will bring personal satisfaction. Because if we can bring those souls into His kingdom, we can be satisfied in knowing that we're doing what He's called for us to do. The state of self-centered churches is bringing a slow death, even in this valley. But becoming other-centered will cut self-centered attitudes. If those who claim to be believers today would die to self, the whole church would ignite with holy fire from above. If we could cut the self out of the picture, the whole church would come on fire. It would be ablaze because each and every one of us would run out into the streets. Come to Christ. You must. The end is near. Jesus is coming, and you need to come into the kingdom of Almighty God. Somebody once said, we're not going to scare him into heaven. I said, no, but we might scare him out of hell. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to remember Christ? Are you willing to remember the sacrifice of Jesus? Are you willing to remember His sacrifice for your eternal freedom? Will you set aside yourself regardless of the consequences? Will you serve Him as you live this life? You know, that's a type of dying. When you're serving Him, you're serving others instead of self. It's a type of dying. You die to yourself. He said, pick up your cross daily. He said, pick up your cross daily. That means you die to yourself every day. That's what his word says. That's what Jesus said. That's what he's calling for. Remember, our religious freedom was bought with the sacrificed lives of others. The spirit of unity and the ideals that enabled people to give their lives in war is what we need in the church today. We need to be a united force going out into the world, drawing souls out of darkness. We need to be that united force that knows we are liberating people from the enemy. We have to be that special core of Christ, willing to go into dark territory, cross the enemy lines with the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, they are spiritual. And like those who died serving their country, many will leave this earth not having seen the completion of the war. The mission continues without them. But we must serve faithfully because our commitment to duty is in Christ. We're a spiritual army of soldiers with orders. And our orders are to deliver the message from our supreme in command, from our commanding officer. That's our orders. We have to follow the instructions of our commanding officer. And much like the military has rules of engagement and rules of conduct for those who enlist, so does our commander. And it's all found in that book that we call the Bible. It's the number one bestseller of all time, you know. There's where our instructions come from. That's where we get the rules of engagement. That's where we get our marching orders. As I wrap this up, I want you to go forward. I want you to go forward like soldiers with your marching orders. I want you to fight to collect those souls that he bought with his blood. It's time to advance. And we must advance to follow him to victory. Resist the temptation to bury yourself in foxholes. And a lot of these buildings have become nothing more than foxholes, glorified foxholes, doesn't matter how big they are. People come here on a Sunday morning, you get a little fluffy message. They just bury themselves, they hunker down. They don't want to be having their head above the line because after all, they don't want their head taken off. They don't want to become a target. Because the enemy's coming after Christians these days. They want to hide out in little buildings like this. All over this land, there are people meeting today wondering, how are we going to build our church? Get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Be not afraid of what man can do to you, but fear him who has power over your soul. That's what Jesus said. And as you celebrate this Memorial Day, keep remembering sacrifice, not just the sacrifice of those who gave their lives in fighting for freedom and in defense of the Constitution of these United States of America. Not only of those sacrifices, though they are many. Remember the sacrifice of Christ as you go into all the world and preach the good news to all of creation. After all, that's your marching orders from your commanding officer. Even if you have to lay down your life to do it. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you, Lord. We need you now more than ever. God, we know that there's no greater love than to lay down our life for our friends. And even though, Lord, Jesus laid down his life for a whole bunch of people that nobody could call his friends, help us to remember his sacrifice for our eternal freedom. Help us to set aside ourselves, regardless of the consequences. Help us to serve you in the building of your kingdom as we live this life dying to self. Help us also, Lord, to remember that our religious freedom was bought with sacrificed lives of others. But help us to stand united. United in faith, united in the Spirit, One body, one faith, one Lord, one Spirit. Help us, Father. We need your help more than ever. Help us to march forward with the orders that you've given us to draw in those souls out of darkness, to rescue the perishing, we pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals to number 530. Number 530. If you can stand, please stand as we sing the battle hymn of the Republic, number 530. And after that, we will sing God Bless America. Number 530. For those of you who might be interested in helping us to support the ministry, you may send your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.
Hi, this is Haley. I want you to visit with us next Sunday.